Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Good evening. Well, good evening. I believe someone needs to put their phones on mute. We are starting our 2020 LFC AEN orientation. Ordination weekly phone conference. We're so glad you're here. We do want to observe the virtual world etiquette by keeping our phones on mute until you are ready to have conversation or make your presentation. I ask you to patiently wait, as it takes about 5 seconds from the time you put your phones on mute until you're actually heard. So just be patient as you are attempting to have conversation. And again, we pray that this is a good, clear connection. If not, you can text me at 630-701-4303. So to start our meeting, we would like to open up in prayer with I believe it's Apostle Books, who may be on another conference call. Is Bishop, Metropolitan Bishop on the line? I think he's supposed to open in prayer. Oh, we will get Apostle Books is joining the line shortly, and we will make sure that everyone is on speaker. Amen. Amen. I trust you had a blessed week. And when the apostle gets on the line, he will open us up in prayer. Please have your questions ready for dialogue after the announcements have been made. Apostle Hooks. Are on the air, Apostle. Okay. 1 second. Let me make sure you're on speaker. All right, Apostle. Yeah.
Having some technical difficulties. Apostle?
Are you on the line, Apostle? Sometimes it's difficult to get right in. We're fast putting everybody on live. You're live and on the air. Apostle? Okay, we have one phone that's okay, Apostle. We know he is attempting to get online, and this may be 4153. I don't see it. Okay. There we go. All right.
Hello?
All right, Apostle. You are live and on the air. You're live and on the air, Apostle. Oh. Are we having a poor connection? I heard sound. One of the joys of virtual technology, we do depend on the carriers to have clear reception. I see Apostle Hooks and several of your calls are dropping. So text me if you're having problems getting online here. Okay? I see that the calls keep dropping. Apostle?
I'm here.
Okay. Oh, good afternoon, Apostle KP. We were trying to reach out to Apostle Hooks. What? I see his number coming going, so it's dropping. So we wanted to kind of give him a minute to just get on.
All right.
Okay.
When I responded, I was like, ooh, ooh.
Oh, that's okay. We know that you're on the line, and so we look forward to hearing from you. He can't connect. The call keeps dropping. All right, all right. Well, we will just open up with another male on the line that can open us up in prayer this evening. Elder Carter?
Yes, ma'am.
Pastor Bibbin?
Elder Carter is here.
Amen. Can you open us up in prayer? Amen.
Father God, we just want to thank you for allowing us to be here this evening. And for those who are able to get online, we just thank you for that.
Yeah.
And Lord, we just ask that you would just bless this evening, bless the airways, so that we may be able to communicate effectively and that your will be done during this time to be a blessing for labor for Christ, to be a blessing to the candidates so that we may receive what it is that you will have us to receive as we continue to move forward. Thank you for our Apostle Shawnette and all that she did. Thank you for the overseer that's overseeing us as candidates. And we just ask you continue to pour out your blessings upon them. And we'll continue to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder Carter. We do apologize. Apostle Hooks has been trying to get on the line. I see his call keeps dropping. And so there must be between here and Seattle, there must be something going on. And so we patiently and graciously appreciate him trying to connect with us. And when he does get through, we will hear from him later in our phone conference today. So we will start now with Elder Sherita giving us an update on the phases that we're in and what's next. Elder Sherita?
Hello, everyone. Thank you all for tuning in on this evening to our weekly one-hour preparation training meetings. They are held every Thursday from now through August on Blog Talk Radio, and the number, as always, to connect is 619-924-0684. If you are not able to call in on that number, you can always log in at www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC-WordLifeCenter. And if you do log on online, you just want to text Overseer that you are joining the discussion online so that you can be accounted in for attendance. And you can also visit this website at any time to review prior meetings that you missed or you just want to review. And again, today's opening prayer was by Dr. Carter / Apostle Hooks. And then our closing prayer will be by Brother Jamel Michaels. And as mentioned in last week's meeting, we encourage everyone to listen to the midweek teaching gathering of prophetic leaders with teachings under the leadership of Apostle Dr. Shawnette Houghton, led by Ambassadorial Prophet Michael Henderson, with guest speakers weekly. This month's topic is prophetic counseling and deliverance. And so those midweek gatherings are held on Wednesdays, and you can review those recorded sessions on the same website, www.blogtalkradio.com/LFC-WordLifeCenter. And you just want to scroll down until you see the headline LFC Midweek Prayer and Teaching Gathering. And then you would just click on that subject line, and then you can begin listening to the episode. And then as we continue the prophetic teaching on the Trailblazer from Ambassadorial Prophet Michael Henderson, we just ask that everyone be sure to study the notes that were given on this teaching, because you will be quizzed periodically. And also, we are still asking everyone to meditate on John 15:1-8. And then we look forward to our weekly word of encouragement from our very own pastoral care director, Apostle Katie Pierce, on this evening. And then we also pray that everyone has been enjoying the candidate and accountability partner presentations. And this week's presenter is our accountability partner, Pastor Joseph Bibbins, presenting on the characteristics of accountable in Christ from Galatians 6:1-2. And then just as a reminder, phase 4, and the monthly assessments are due on June 30th. So phase 4 is the defenders of the faith. And then for 2 candidates, the theological questions. And so June 30th is the due date, which is next Tuesday. Remember, you don't have to wait. You can submit it earlier if you have completed it. And then if you have any questions or concerns, just be sure to reach out to Overseer. And lastly, Overseer mentioned it already, but if you have any questions or concerns, we do encourage you to share them during our meeting time. And that's all that I have.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder Sherita. Are there any questions, concerns, or comments as it relates to your phase or anything that we've presented to you that you may want clarity on? Now is the time to speak up. Amen. You do have
this
to take your phones off. Yes,
this
ma'am.
This is Evangelist Vera. I got a question in regards to the portfolio that we're making. Are those portfolios being turned in, or do we need to make 2, one to keep for ourselves and one to give to you guys?
You don't have to make 2, because technically you're giving me everything piece by piece as your phase
right.
come due. And no, like each one of the requirements you have, you're sending them to me. And so you're
mm-hmm.
building up your portfolio. You should bring it to the conference. You should bring
okay.
it to the conference. And obviously if you have things in it that were not turned in, I would encourage you to make a copy and turn it in so that we can process it properly. Some of the things you guys do are really phenomenal words of encouragement. They're like 10-minute sermonettes. They're really very profound topic builders and issue addressers. And so I do encourage you. Your testimony is powerful. And so as you record some of the things that you did not turn in, but you do make it a part of your portfolio, I do encourage you to make a copy of that for me. Everything else we should have that you have submitted. Wonderful question. Anybody else? Okay. Well, we do have the privilege weekly going forward to have the Upper College as a part of our weekly phone conference. And so we want to give space 2 minutes or so from anybody from the Upper College that wishes to address you guys in your process. And so I know that I believe that Apostle Hooks was able to get through, but anybody that from the Curia, from the Upper College, that would like to share, the floor is open to you. Amen. Yeah. Okay, we've got a lot of dead time here today. Okay.
All right.
So
you mean nobody's going to say anything?
I guess not. They're waiting on you, Apostle.
I can share a little bit. Metropolitan. He always has a word. And forgive me for not getting on time. I was not blaming Apostle Charnette, but I was on the other line with Apostle Charnette, and the time just kind of got away. And then as I was trying to call in, I couldn't get through. It took me 10 minutes to finally get through.
Yeah.
It actually kept kicking me out. But I want to, if I can just kind of share this word, I don't know if I want to call it a word of encouragement, a word of empowerment, a word of whatever, but just as I was sitting here and you put that invitation out there, the thing that quickly jumped into my spirit comes from Matthew 7, verse 7, Jesus was teaching. He says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you." And he just continues talking about, he continues that with comparing himself, who is a good father, to any and every sinful earthly father. Saying, if your son asks you for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks you for fish, will he give you a serpent? Will you give him a serpent? And so if these evil fathers could give good gifts, how much more should your Father in heaven give good things? And so I want to take that and point that back to verse 7, because I was giving the last 14 days my Bible study, was just giving the our listeners an assignment. And part of the assignment was for the last 14 days, they were to ask, seek, and knock. And it was the knock that the Holy Spirit just kind of quickened in my heart when you said that. Just to share with the candidates on this evening, as he talked about the asking, just ask them to get questions, asking questions for understanding, seeking as well another level of understanding. But what he said with the knock is that you are knocking so that you can get access to realms, rooms, and revelations. And I just want to share that quickly with everybody, as we talked about that these last couple of weeks, there is a freedom, there is a liberty that we have, that we can ask God anything. We can bring any and all of our needs to God, to Christ. He cares for us. He loves us. He's concerned about us. He knows, but he really wants us to talk to him. And that's on the care side, but there's also the aspect of it on the mission and the purpose side, that, you know, none of our needs have caught him off guard, but he just wants us to say, God, I have this need. And even when we put Matthew 7 on him and say, God, but your word says you give better gifts than any evil father, and you are a good father. And so I just want to encourage each and every one of you over these next few years and decades of ministry to go ahead and knock on those doors, asking for entry into realms, rooms, and revelation that you would otherwise not have access to, especially because we do not, or you do not, ask. That's powerful for me. When I think about the word realms in and of itself, you know, there are some places that we don't have access to because of immaturity, ignorance, race, creed, color, social status, whatever the case may be. But if we are walking this walk as faithful disciples, and as we walk with him, when he shows us there is a door, He's not showing us. He doesn't always show us the door and say, you can go there. He shows us the door and then asks us, do we want entrance? And so I just want to encourage each and every one of us, me too, that if he reveals unto us that there is a door there, that boundary does not say no trespassing. That boundary has a knocker on it that says, come on, if you want to get in, knock. If you want to enter into this realm, knock. If you want to get higher and deeper in me, knock. If you want to know what the third realm of heaven feels like, smells like, tastes like, just knock on the door. I'm right here waiting to open the door and let you in. If you and then we talk about rooms. If you same thing, it's a door, but it is not a door keeping you out. It is a door inviting you to knock on it. And then he talks about revelation. And that's just, for me, again, that's just another great thing, especially on this walk, because we are pivoting in this season, in this dispensation, in this 2020, where there are other revelations that the world is about to start asking and that we need to be prepared to answer. We need to be prepared to have a word for. And so we need to say, okay, God, what do I need to know for the person that I haven't met yet? They will come with a pressing need, an intensified question, some emergent issue, and I need to have a revelation. I need to have biblical truth. I need to have knowledge and understanding, and I need to walk in something that I've not walked in yet myself. And so he said, come on and knock. I will let you in. If you seek me with a whole and a pure heart, you will find me. And I just have to really appreciate that even in these times where, you know, we could otherwise be very busy doing nothing. He's got many of us positioned to engage him in now what would become daily conversations that we would not have because we've been at work all day, or we would not have because we in traffic for 2-3 hours a day. We would not have because we worried about, you know, we got the responsibilities that are distracting. Or we would not have because we have not walked in the realm. We have not walked on this level. We have not walked in the way that he is calling us into now. And so even as prophet has called you all vanguard, well, listen, vanguards are the first ones in. No, he called y'all trailblazers. My word is vanguard. Yeah. You're still the first one in. So if anybody's supposed to knock on that door, you all are supposed to knock on that door. And if not knock on it, knock it down. Why don't you? Because you all are the trailblazers. You are the vanguard. You are the first. You are the leaders. You are the spearheads. You are the entrepreneurs and the CEOs. You are the beginners of a thing. And so I just want to encourage you all to not gain access to those realms, those rooms, and the revelation that God has for you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much, Apostle. And I would like to encourage everyone, Apostle can share with us. He has a Bible study at 6:30, I guess it's Central Standard Time.
It's Pacific time. It's 6:30 Pacific time. So it's 8:30 Central Time. You're welcome. It is on Blog Talk, and you can either call in. Let me pull that number up because I don't remember that number. I dialed it a number of times the other day. You can call in 516-418-5396. That's the call in number, 516-418-5396. Or you can just find us at blogtalkradio.com/LFC Grace Teaching Center. LFC Grace Teaching Center. And that's every Wednesday at 8:30 Chicago time. It is 6:30 my time. And there are archives, messages up there now. It's funny, I was doing that before we had the baby, and I stopped when we found out we had the baby because I had to give up my office and had to give up that time slot. being blessed to be able to get back to it. I told somebody not to minimize any other part of my life, any individual in my life, but being able to teach those Bible studies sometimes has been the best part of my week. So we are there Wednesday night. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for sharing and giving the candidates a little preview of the kind of teaching, innovative teaching, that's going to be presented at the AEN conference. Apostle Dean of the College of Elders and Pastors, and they have a track. And so you want to keep a lookout for the time that he will be presenting to encourage and to empower and to build up our elders and our pastors. And so we appreciate him sharing with us this evening and giving us a little insight. They're all on the line. They can kind of wet your whistle for some of the things that's going to be going on during the conference. From time to time, we will have speakers to share with you a great, great, great wealth of anointed, empowering leaders that the Lord has sent your way and we are in network with. So we do thank you for sharing with us, and we actually are going to just go to our next apostle on the line, Apostle Katie Pierce, so that she may share her words of encouragement today and her ministry of the olive branch. Apostle?
Amen. Thank you, Overseer. We do so appreciate always being on the line and just sharing and imparting with the candidates and also hearing from the candidates, because these last few weeks, they too have been a blessing unto us. And so on today, I just wanted to share, as I was sitting, you know, just thinking about your call of ministry and how the day is fastly approaching, you know, when we will feel what God has already ordained in each of you, it will be sealed on that day. And then after that day, it doesn't end. That's when it begins. And so pastoral care ministry is a ministry that has been developed within the AEN to encourage us to finish the work at hand. Things are going to come. The enemy is not going to stop. The Bible says that he goes to and fro as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's his job. That's his tactic. But we need you to know and encourage you to know that you're never alone. And so today, you know, as we were just sitting and asking the Lord about, you know, what to share with you on today, looking into ministry, looking into what God is doing, understanding that ministry is not just standing behind a pulpit. Ministry is not just bringing a word behind a pulpit. Ministry is a lifestyle for you now. Ministry is something you can't put it on and take it off. It's you all the time. It's a part of you. It's embedded in your skin. It's embedded in your eyes. It sinks in. And so even as we walk, if things transition and things will change, I wanted to just give a snippet of my own testimony, you know, being called into ministry and what God was doing. And a few years ago, we had was pastoring a church TDM, and some things happened, and that church in and of itself dissolved, and things happened in my life, and I found myself retreating. I found myself pulling back. It's okay if I be transparent. Amen. I know you're saying amen. And as I found myself pulling back, the Lord began to tell me I had my own juniper tree experience. I had my own experience where I was, you know, seeking God and saying, what's really going on? And I kept trying to go. I wasn't going with the strength that I thought I needed, but I was going because all I know to do is to go. And so as I was going, I was taking a CCTI class, and it was talking about pastoring. Here I am. I'm like, God, why am I taking a class talking about pastoring and the church is dissolving? What are you doing? And it was in that CCTI class that we began to talk about pastoring outside the four walls of the church. Somebody's going to be blessed in a minute. I'm blessed right now. And so it talked about pastoring outside the four walls. And God began to show me that that was just something I did. That was for such a time as that time. But now there
there's a new time. I'm raising you up for something new. I'm raising you up for such a time as this. And so I want each of you to know that as you walk out your ministry, as you walk out your call, things are going to change. They're going to evolve. God is going to begin to shift you, bring you to murky and muddy waters, only to bring you into the rivers and things that are happening. So you have to be prepared to be a fluid. Amen. I think that's what our Apostle Shanet says. You have to be prepared to be fluid, that however God wants to use you, my God, to glory, however God wants to use you, wherever God wants to take you, you must be obedient to say, okay, yes, Lord. And so in that, God brought me to a place now of being the serving lead for pastoral care. And I'm finding myself being before God, praying, calling, and doing wellness checks. And some of you may have already received your olive branches, but I'm constantly in the presence of God saying, God, what would you have for your people? God, how can I encourage your people? God, what are you speaking in this season? And so all today, I just want to share with you from the book of Colossians, and it says this, that my prayer for you and my desires that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invincible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, that are visible, that are invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And so if we just bless you in the name of the Lord, we pray that you will always be strengthened, and we pray that you will know beyond anything else that whenever you get to a point where you just need somebody to lift you up in prayer, we need you to understand and know that the AEN Pastoral Care, we're here for you, and we are praying for you. Be encouraged. Thank you, Overseer.
Well, amen. Thank you, Apostle. And I just want to let the candidates know that not only are you privy to the encouragement of the Pastoral Care Committee, but you can also be a part of it. So if that's the tug at your heart, you can be a part of that ministry of the AEN under the direction of our own Apostle Katie Pierce. And I'm sure the Lord has need of workers. So if that is your heart, she would love to hear from you. And so we will have this information available to you in your weekly announcements and reminders. Blog Talk number for Apostle Hooks, as well as the information for Apostle Katie Pierce, if you want to be a part of that ministry. So we just want you to know who you are in network with, some very, very powerful men and women of God. And so I don't see that the prophet is on the line unless he's under another number. So I will go to Elder Deborah will give us our presentation for this evening. Elder?
Thank you, Overseer. I'd like, if possible, to just mention the scripture that we're meditating on for the devotion, which is John 15:1-8. And once again, thank Pastor Yvette and Evangelist Cheryl Salisbury for highlighting that passage for us. I want you guys to please, you know, continue to read and meditate on that, especially beginning July 1st. If you haven't, as of July 1st, we will be full-fledged into our consecration, and that is our consecration passage, John 1 through 8. Our readings will be taken from The True Vine, which is authored by Andrew Murray. I'm going to ask Elder Sharita, I will forward you this. I've already scanned it, but so that next week before the first, you can get at least the first week or the first 2 weeks. I don't know how large a file you want to send out, so we can do it weekly or we can do it two emails with 2 weeks. But anyway, it's a reading each day. It's a page and maybe a quarter. Take you about 2 or 3 minutes. It's not a long reading, but it is powerful and mighty, where we can see how we're connected to the vine and all of the things that are associated with that. So you will be getting something in your email. Please be looking for it from Elder Sharita regarding the consecration, and there will be a reading for each day. It's a 31-day consecration. So just please be mindful of that. And like I said, in the event that you've started or you want to start beforehand, please feel free. The word is alive and dynamic. So John 15, 1 through 8. Excuse me. That's it. As I move forward to our characteristics for accountability tonight, the passage is Galatians 6, 1 and 2. The characteristic or element is accountable in Christ, and it's going to be presented by our accountability partner, Pastor Joseph Bibben. I'm not sure, Overseer, if you had something that you wanted to say prior to that. When Overseer is done, Pastor Bibbins, you have the floor.
Amen. I was going to introduce you to Pastor Bibbins. He is he has gone through the ordination process several times, first as an emerging pastor and then as an ordained pastor. He has been in the ministry for over 20 years. His resume is a powerful testimony of endurance, of overcoming. He's also an entrepreneur. He was involved with creating a product and marketing it. So we have some very, very anointed, gifted individuals that are sharing their heart and their testimony with us. And so I introduce to some and I present to all Pastor Joseph Bibbins.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I just wanted to make sure everybody could hear me. Overseer, I thank you for that awesome intro. I thank God for you and the AEN. That has been there to support me and the call that is on my life. So I'm eternally grateful to you, and I thank you for this opportunity to share a word. So I'm humbled at the words that have been shared. Before I get into this, I just wanted to pray a quick prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we bless you, we honor you, and we give you glory and honor for what is going to be released. And we give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, good evening, everyone. Kingdom blessings. The scripture that we are talking about this evening, it comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 1 through 2. What I'm going to do is I'm going to read the King James Version first, and then I'm going to read the NIV version. The King James Version goes as such: Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such and one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. In the NIV version, it says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So tonight we're talking about Paul right here is encouraging the church in regards to taking careful stock of the work that we do in the Spirit. He lets us know that no Christian should regard him or herself as super spiritual or consider themselves to be superior or more highly favored than any other child of God. We are all sinners, saved by grace, with no merits of our own. We are called to love one another with brotherly, to be kind, compassionate, hospitable, and gracious toward one another. We are to treat people how we want to be treated. Paul wants us to be led by the Spirit and not by our flesh. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we know in Galatians 5, he talked about the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. Now as he goes into Galatians 6, he's talking about how we're supposed to utilize those gifts and those fruits of the Spirit on how we treat each other. We know that the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23, is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We know the fruit of the Spirit is a result of the work of the Spirit. Fruit is the evidence of being connected to Christ. I don't know if everyone remembers, well, we all remember when we had the fruit assessment and how we judged each other based on how we saw ourselves and how we're operating in these fruits. I know there's areas that I need more work in. There's some areas where I'm stronger in, some areas that I'm weaker in. But Paul is talking about how we're supposed to utilize those gifts of the Spirit, those fruits of the Spirit, in order to have an impact on the lives of people. Just as branches of a tree or a grapevine have to be connected to the trunk in order to bear grapes or apples. The fruit of the Spirit deals with our attitude. It deals with how we respond to people, how we talk to people as believers, how we treat people. The Lord told me the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit is the gifts of the Spirit are what we operate in. The fruits of the Spirit is what we show, what we display to others. The fruits of the Spirit is the result of how we operate in the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit are shown outwardly to people. You can't operate successfully in the gifts of the Spirit without having the fruit of the Spirit. One of the gifts of the Spirit that we know is prophecy. And we know in order to prophesy, we have to be able to love, have a love for people in order to prophesy. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 2 says, Paul said that if I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith more than mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. There's three things, people of God, that we take from the scriptures Paul is talking about. Number one, Paul is talking about how we see people when they're overtaken in a fault. In other words, if they fall into a sin. Most people in the world, we know how people handle things in the world. When they see somebody fall, it's always like, oh, well, you did this, you did this. There's always a spirit of condemnation that comes upon the person that falls. But we in the body of Christ, Paul said, we that are spiritual must show those fruits of the Spirit when we are dealing with people that fall. The key word in the scripture, as we talked about in NIV, one of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness, which is what Paul talks about in Galatians 6. We must help to restore them. We are to display the attributes of God when we help people to receive restoration. our job is to restore people, not condemn people. I know that if I fall, if I make a mistake, the first thing I don't want to hear from people is, well, you know, you did this, you shouldn't have did this, you should have did it this way. And usually when you come at people like that, they're not as always easy to receive. But our approach should be showing them gentleness, showing them love. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, he said, take my yoke upon you, for I am gentle, humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Do not be the person that condemns, but restores. Number two thing that we take from this, first thing is we have to approach people with gentleness. Number two is we got to be careful not to condemn a person for what they do, knowing that the same thing that you condemn others for, you may be in that same position where you may need someone to restore you. You may need someone to show you kindness and gentleness. The perfect example of this, people of God, is John chapter 8, where the scribes and the Pharisees brought the woman that was dealing with adultery to Jesus and told him, he says, this woman has committed adultery. According to Moses' law, we're supposed to stone this lady. And then they asked Jesus, well, what do you think about it? And Jesus drew on the ground and he said, he who is without sin, cast the first stone. So what he did was he reflected to them, okay, so you're condemning this woman for what she does, but look in your own life and see that you are not a person in a fault. You are not a one that fell in sin, and you need the same type of treatment. So what did Jesus do? He didn't condemn her. What he did was he showed her gentleness. He showed her kindness. That was his reaction. We take from that we have to remember to watch how we react to people. We can't react judgmentally or with an attitude of self-righteousness towards someone's sin or fall. God gave us grace and mercy. Now we're supposed to do the same thing to other people that we come in contact with that are dealing with situations. I found out over the years that it's not what you know, it's how much you care. And when you're ministering to people, we are ministers of reconciliation. So we are always a person that looks to restore, not to tear down. And number three, as I close here, he said that we are to bear one another's burdens. That's the fulfillment of Christ. That is the commandment. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35, he said, Jesus said to love one another as I've loved you. That's the commandment. We are to show love. We are to help people when they're going through. That is the requirement. Now, finally, as I conclude this, as it relates to the accountability process, I think this is very evident for all of us as accountability partners, because each and every candidate has their own issues that they're dealing with. Some may be dealing with family issues. Some may be dealing with financial issues. Whatever the issue may be, we know that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that the enemy would love to try to sabotage the call on the life of our people. But we as accountability partners must stand up and be there to support them through that process. We're supposed to offer a word of encouragement. We're supposed to display a listening ear. Our job is to keep them moving forward so that they don't get off track. Accountability is more than just telling people, you need to do this, you need to do this, you need to do that. But the true accountability is how we talk, how we perceive what's going on, and how we react to that person and what they're dealing with. I remember when I first talked with Elder Carter, at the end of February, reached out to him. We had missed talking to each other a couple times. We were playing phone tag. And toward the end, by the third call, third or fourth call, I got in touch with him. And when I called him, he was going through a crisis because he was dealing with his daughter and son-in-law who were going through a time where they were involved in a very bad fire. And at the time, when I called him, I could hear it in his voice. One of the things that the Lord dropped in my spirit was, you need to pray for him. The last thing he needs to hear about right now is what the AEN requirements are. He needs to hear that I am with him. So the spirit of peace came upon me, and I displayed it to him by saying, you know what, let's pray. And when we prayed, God was able to supernaturally touch this man of God, and he was able to get through it. And then the testimony that came after was even greater. So the thing is, as I said before, it's not what you know, it's how much you care. So to summarize everything here is that we must be the displayers of the fruits of the Spirit. Those fruits of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, the forbearance, all of the things that we talked about here is what we are to show to people. They must know that Christ lives within us. And in order for the gifts of the Spirit to be operating successfully, the fruits of the Spirit have to be evident. Amen. God bless you, A.E.N.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, El.
That was a great job. I really like the way you weave not only the text, but I guess it is the text, but connected it to the fruit and then brought it back to us as individuals on what we need to do, and then closed it out with the whole accountability and a live example where the Lord had allowed that ministry of reconciliation, allowed that ministry of care, and it truly is not what we know, but how much we care. And sometimes that's a hard lesson to learn because we spend a lot of time promoting what we know academically and those kinds of things, what we need to learn biblically. But, you know, what are we doing on a relational basis with each other? Those are the things that make the difference. Thank you very much, Pastor. I don't know if anyone else has any comments or they would like to make, but that was a great job.
Amen.
Amen.
This is Sister LaDonna.
Yes, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone. I enjoyed the presentation. This is one presentation I guess I enjoyed it because I can relate to it on a personal level. It's like you spelled it out scripture-wise, and then you apply it to our everyday living. And actually, it's everyday common sense. If you're going to live a Christian life, there are the fruits of the Spirit that you need to be delving in. So I can take the assignment that we had and the words from tonight, and it's inspiring to move forward. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else?
Yeah, this is Elder Carter. Pastor Bivens, thank you for the encouraging words, the way you broke down the scripture, and again, given the example of our first meeting, our first connection. And yeah, it is a wonderful testimony how God moved on behalf of my daughter and my son-in-law and their family. So I thank you for always being there and for your continued prayer. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome,
Amen.
Sir. You are a blessing to the body, sir.
Amen. Amen. All right. So, Elder Deborah, do you have another presentation for this evening?
We don't have another presentation. We have
okay.
Brother... Well, let me see. Is Deacon Toler on the line?
No. We're going to have our brother, Deacon in training, Jamel, will close us
Jamel
out.
Jamel and Deacon Lazarus?
No, just.
Yes, I'm Deacon Toler on the line.
Okay.
Let me say this as a preface. We had some scheduling changes a couple of weeks ago on who was doing what because a couple of the candidates were no longer participating in it, and so we were left with some slots that didn't have a candidate but had an accountability partner. So if it's okay with you, Overseer, just to kind of get that clarity right now, I don't know if Brother Jamel is available and prepared today, or if Deacon Toler is prepared. But if not, then, you know, we can schedule them moving forward. But we have three more elements to present between now and the end of our process. So this is scheduled to go through July 9th. We have Accountable to the Body and Love of the Brethren would have been on the 18th. Is Brother Jamel on the line with us today?
Brother Jamel is going to close us out in prayer. Okay.
So would it be, am I speaking out of turn to ask him to be prepared for next week, he and his accountability partner, for Love of the Brethren, John 4:21?
Sure, that's fine.
And I only say that because it's 7:56. You know, I wouldn't want, even if he's prepared, I wouldn't want him to try to get it in 4 minutes.
No, we will contact him about whatever he's going to do next week. I didn't know if you had someone else for the vine to do this week.
No, we were only doing those. That was the end of that. That was just the precursor.
Okay.
1 through 4 with Pastor Yvette and 5 through 8 with Elder Salisbury. So that was strictly it, and just what I was saying, that Elder Sharita will get out the readings next week because the readings begin on July 1st. So there is no more real discussion or overview because, you know, they've gone through that.
Okay. So we'll just
unless you want something else. So, you know, I'm completely open and flexible.
No, the way you set it up is fine. I just wanted to make sure we weren't overlooking anybody today. I do want to spend these last two or three minutes just seeing if people had any questions about their process, about their questions, about the conference that's going to be in August, the procedures that we're going to do. We're going to be more in-depth with you as we go forward, but I didn't know if people had any questions now. So the floor is open. Okay. All right, so if there be no questions, we will turn the remaining into the hands of Brother Jamel for our closing prayer. Again, we thank all of our associates and AEN associates that shared with us today, all of our candidates and accountability partners that have surrendered yourself to this weekly process. Thank you so much. I do want to encourage you to continue to pray for one another. So, Brother Jamel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us the strength, and thank you for waking us up this morning, and thank you for healing us when we had pain, and thank you for being right there when no one else was in our corner. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen. God bless.
Amen. Accountability partner. Yes. All right, so check your email. All right?
Amen.
All right.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
You guys have a blessed weekend.
Thank you.
Good night.
Amen. Night.